This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now forecasting the future for the automotive industry, a tricky business. Who would have predicted last year that a colossal earthquake and tsunami in Japan would take thousands of lives and set off an international nuclear scare? On the lesser end of the tragedy, Toyota plummeted its sales and links in the automotive supply chain were wiped out. Nobody can predict with certainty what events will shape our lives or our businesses in 2012, but advancing technology and consumer habits can provide a sort of predictive GPS as to where the automotive industry may be headed. Here to gaze into her chrome-colored crystal ball and make some educated guesses is Jamie Page Deaton. She's managing editor of U.S. News & World Report's Best Car Rankings and frequent word-of-mouth guest. Jamie, great to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Virginia.
So, 2012, the year of the flying car, or will I have to put aside my dream of being a pilot for another
year?
Actually,
2012, you might want to head on over to the airport. Remember we talked about this summer, the Terrafugia flying car, the transition. 2012, they're hoping to begin deliveries. So if you have about $250,000, get your pilot's license and you can get your flying car.
Well, yes, I have plenty of money. Well, earlier in the show, our tech guru, Rob Fleischman, said he sees hybrid vehicles becoming so commonplace, the word itself will kind of fade away. Seems to me the conversation about alternative fuels and fuel economy isn't going anywhere just yet. What do you think?
Well, I disagree a little bit with Rob on this. I think the big story isn't necessarily hybrid and EVs. It's about bringing the internal combustion engine back to being a fuel-saving technology, and that's going to be what it's centered on. Now, I think Rob, as a tech guy, he probably loves all this new technology, but the fact of the matter is your average everyday consumer just doesn't. Hybrids have been available for over 10 years. They still only make up less than 2% of cars on American roads. Consumers just don't have the same interest in them as the media does and as early adopters do. And it sort of makes a lot of sense, because why would you pay $10,000 more, $5,000 more for a hybrid or an electric car when you can get a Ford Focus SFE, which is a super high fuel economy, and you only pay about $2,000 more? Or you can get a Hyundai Accent, which gets 40 miles per gallon, and that's the base model. You don't have to pay extra for great fuel economy. And automakers are really working to get just these nice little turbocharged four-cylinder engines, making them get hybrid-like fuel economy, so you don't have to deal with hybrid performance, you don't have to deal with extra costs. And that's really where I think most consumers are headed when they start thinking about saving money and saving gas.
Well, that's a bit of a reversal. How much does this sort of thing have to do with the price of gas, however? I mean, prices are down from 2011 highs this spring, not cheap. Could another spike of, say, over $4 a gallon refocus the industry on hybrids and EVs?
It could certainly refocus consumers. It takes the industry a lot of time to change focus, to change direction, because there's a lot of development in there. And the industry is developing some new technology with hybrids and EVs. But the fact remains, if you go and you buy a hybrid car and you want to get your money back from what you pay extra, gas prices need to be well over $5 per gallon. At the current gas prices, it'll take, in most cases, 10 to 15 years to pay off the difference in fuel savings. So, again, if you're doing the math as a consumer, it's great if you want to save the environment, but most people just really want to save money. Yeah. So they're going to go, I think, for the more fuel-efficient, just gas-powered cars.
Well, let's stay with consumers. You have some predictions about changes in buying habits. How are they going to be buying cars?
Well, the old saying was, you're a sucker if you pay sticker. I think the new saying is you're a ninny if you negotiate, because there are now tons of pre-negotiated price programs so that car, you don't really have to negotiate for a new car. You can still get a great deal. And at U.S. News, we have one of these programs on our site. It's the U.S. News Best Price Program. And with we basically have negotiated the price. We partnered with a company called TrueCar.com. We pre-negotiated the price. And on average, consumers are saving over $4,000 off sticker by just using this program. And so that really is a huge trend that we are starting to see, is more and more consumers using pre-negotiated price programs to buy their new cars.
Is that available for the $250,000 new flying car?
Well, not quite yet. Once they go on sale, we'll let you know.
What about car sharing programs like Zipcar? Are they picking up or losing steam?
They're starting to pick up quite a bit, and that's because among 20-somethings, particularly 20-somethings in urban areas, it's no longer cool to own a car. It's cool to not own a car. And this is a great way to have a car when you need one, but not necessarily have to deal with all the long-term costs associated and the annoyances associated with car ownership. So these are really becoming more and more popular, particularly with younger people. Now, as those people start to get a little bit older, maybe move to the suburbs, that might change a little bit. But for now, for 2012, car sharing is a big deal.
All right, so away from cars and on to the NTSB's proposed rules about distracted driving. I can't imagine people giving up their cell phones.
I can't imagine people giving up their cell phones either, but there was a time when people couldn't imagine driving without a beer in their hand.
True that.
And so, I mean, that's something that has come up. And, you know, a lot of organizations like Mothers Against Drunk Driving are now starting to want to turn distracted driving into the drunk driving of 2012. And even with hands-free devices, because everybody, I think, you know, thinks that they're safer. And I know I will say, oh, I'm hands-free, so it's safe. Research has not borne that out. There's two types of distraction when you're driving distracted. There's visual distraction, which is taking your eyes off the road to read a text or dial a phone number. And then there's cognitive distraction, which is when your mind isn't on what you're doing, which is when you're using a hands-free device. And even though car makers are making more things hands-free, BMW has a really interesting system that'll read emails to you and update your calendar, which sounds great. Oh, I won't be distracted. Except that you're thinking then about what's on the email and not what's in front of you. So this is one conversation that we're going to continue to have because it really is about balancing what's realistic and what people will actually do and with what's safe.
Okay, enough with the auto forecast. Any resolutions you want to share?
Actually, mine is to quit driving distracted. I will say...
She's walking the talk, I guess is what we say. Thanks so much for joining us, Jamie.
Thank you.
Jamie Page Deaton, Managing Editor of U.S. News and World Report's Best Car Rankings. Don't forget, you can also add your own automotive prophecies to the conversation at our Facebook page or on Twitter, or you can post a comment on our webpage, wordofmouthradio.org. Next, we turn our psychic gaze from engines to e-books with a look at the future of publishing in 2012. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the news from the BBC.